Out of the dugout and to the field, it's time for high school baseball on Cantaland Radio. All the action from the clutch hits, flashes of leather, and big pitches right here on Cantaland Radio. Now let's head live to the ball diamond for all the action. Batter up.
On a breezy, understated day here this afternoon in Sabetha, we bring you coverage of high school regional baseball tournament action. And excited to bring you the ball games today. It's a triple header here on the MSC Sports Radio Network. You are dialed in KNZA 103.9 FM alongside Crittenden Prophet to my left. I'm Brandon Tamman. Captain Kirk Kilman, our studio producer, getting you set for a triple header here on KNZA. Our first matchup coming up in this 8-team regional, the top seed and 15-5 Riverside Cyclones against the 8-seed Royal Valley Panthers. Game 2 of our double or triple dip tonight will be the 2-7 matchup, the Nemaha Central Thunder and the Hiawatha Redhawks. Final game of the evening around 6 or so, TBD on that time start, but 3-seed and host Sabetha Blue Jays taking on the 6-seed Atchison County Tigers. Again, glad to be a part of your Friday afternoon as we get set for this opening game of 3 in a row here on KNZA. KP, Crittenden Prophet alongside as we get you set for this one here today. We'll get you the lineups here for Riverside and Royal Valley in just a moment, but we got a game in, the 4-5 matchup prior to this one getting underway. It was the 5-seed Marysville Bulldogs defeating the Morehill Mount Academy Ravens 16-5, and you know, we got a chance to catch a good chunk of that game here prior to this one. And you know, Marysville, pretty solid team and playing out in the North Central Kansas League, but they scored in all but 2 innings and ran away from Morehill Mount Academy in game number 1 today.
Yeah, and it was a close game to really start it. I mean, there was a close score of 5-4, and then after that, it was just kind of blown open by Marysville, and then it was a big struggle for Troy / Morehill to really find a pitcher to go up there on the mound and, you know, pitch and finish that game. So for them, it was an unfortunate way to end the season for themselves, but for Marysville, they move on in this playoff bracket, which is going to be a very tough-seeded playoff bracket for some of the teams that we'll have to call here today.
Well, we get ready for Riverside and Royal Valley, and let's talk about the Cyclones here. The number one seed in this regional with a record of 15-5. This is one of their best seasons in some time. They went 8-11 a year ago, won just 5 games back in 2023. And the most maybe impressive part about this Cyclones team, majority of their roster and what we're going to see today, all freshmen for at least good chunk of it.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, you know, last week I had the opportunity to call Riverside against Dauphin West. That game combined for only one total senior between both teams. Riverside, of course, not having any starting seniors. So when you look at this roster, it's really young. But another thing you look at, you talk about the losing records and now the winning record this season. Well, you know, a big eye of concern for this Riverside Cyclone team coming into here is they have not faced a team, you know, from this Big East Conference, and they're going to be taking on a lot of those teams probably in this bracket. They've moved over to the NAKL, teams that play in the 1 to 2A classification. So you look at the competition level, and you kind of put it down just a little bit, and now you're kind of stepping up into your 3A classification and going against those 3A teams. So, you know, I was hearing last week a lot of fans from Riverside, you know how is this team going to bounce back, and or not bounce back necessarily, but try to get out on a hot start against these teams in the true 3A classification, and they have a good team to kind of start that off and get it on the right page against an 0-20 Royal Valley Panthers team who has lost 40 games straight.
Yeah, it's been tough, you know, a couple of years here for Royal Valley looking for their first win since May of 2023, but, you know, they have a good senior leadership crew up towards the top of their lineup, and you just mentioned the competition that they played. They did not play anybody outside of the Big East this year, and you look at how the Big East shaped out. Of course, Jeff West, the Big East League champs here for the first time, and obviously it was a very top-heavy group of teams. You know, Silver Lake, you look at them up there. Perry-Lecompton was solid. They advanced yesterday in their regional tournament bracket, but the Big East, once again, like football, like basketball, it was just so stacked top to bottom, and it's certainly the same way for the baseball side of it. But you look at this Royal Valley team again, you know, no wins to this point in the year, but, you know, my game on Wednesday afternoon over in Valley Falls, you look at it, you wipe records out the window and you get to this point. Jefferson County North, perfect example. They had won just 5 games going into their matchup against a 13-win Pleasant Ridge team, and they won that game 8-1. So all the coaches know, all the players know, it doesn't matter what you see in terms of the record, you wipe it out the window, it's a one-game win-and-move-on scenario, and really anything can happen.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, anything can happen, and you talk about both of these teams again, you know, when going through the pitching starting matchup, you know, Wolosik on the Panthers side, but also on the Cyclones side, Keegan Hughes, I got to see him pitch last week, he only allowed one run through six innings. And, you know, it was just a really great display from him and his ability up from the mound. But unfortunately, again, he'd had no run support from his team. The team got shut in that first game. But the team did bounce back. Riverside, they bounced back and had a win against Dauphin West in game number two of that doubleheader. So a guy like Hughes, he's got 63 strikeouts on the year. I was able to call him when he got his 60th last week. He gets better as the game goes on. He can get back-to-back Ks, and he can rattle them on through. So for him to get this team off to a hot start in this bracket tournament, going against teams that, again, Riverside, they didn't play their first non-league team until the end of the season. So both these teams are kind of more comfortable with who they know that's, you know, right next to them as their neighbor, not, you know, outside of that comfort zone. So for both these teams, it's going to be a good matchup.
Well, let's get you the lineup cards here for the first of three games here on KNZA, the 1-8 matchup in this Sabetha Regional Tournament. And we'll start with the 8 seed, the Royal Valley Panthers. It is senior Gavin Aiken leading things off. He'll be at first base. Sophomore Mason Keene bats second. He'll be at third base. Batting third is senior Jackson Stevens. He'll be in left field. Cleanup spot is junior catcher in John Young. The pitcher is senior Gerald Wawasik. He will bat fifth. Ronan Gentile, the junior DH, he will bat sixth. Cooper Stevens, he is a freshman. He'll be at second base, batting seventh. Carter Geiger, the senior shortstop, he will bat eighth. Tayson Taylor rounding things out, number 9 in the order. He will be out in center field. And in the flex position defensively in right field, that's going to be Isaac Bradley. So again, for Royal Valley, it is Aiken, Keene, Stevens, Young, Wawasik, Gentile, Stevens, Geiger, and Taylor, with Bradley the flex in right field. For the one seed, Riverside Cyclones, representing the Northeast Kansas League, they have a record of 15-5, and they're going to go like this here today. Chase Ewens will lead it off. He is the junior catcher. Keegan Hughes, the pitcher, he is a sophomore, batting second. Mason Hayes, junior center fielder, he will bat third. Luke Bennett's the sophomore right fielder in the cleanup spot. Freshman Kobe Kaler is the shortstop, he will bat fifth. Gavin Schoenfelder is the freshman third baseman, he will bat sixth. Brendan Deming is a freshman first baseman, batting seventh. Brody Huff, he will bat eighth. He is the junior DH. And Parker Foley, a freshman at second base, he will bat ninth. In the flex position, playing defensively in left field, is Grady Sigrist. So again, for Riverside, it's Hewens, Hughes, Hayes, Bennett, Kaler, Schoenfelder, Deming, Huff, and Foley, with Sigrist the flex out in left field. We'll take a timeout here momentarily, but just your quick thoughts. We were talking about it a little bit before we came on the air. One of the best players, maybe not the best player for Riverside, still dealing with an injury, and that's Beckham Griffin. We weren't sure if he was going to play today, but he is not in the lineup. He broke his foot 8 games into the year. And you look at how things played out. Riverside was 8-0 with him in the lineup. They're just 4-4 over the.
Roger Hauer with Kellerman Real Estate, online at kellermanrealestate.com.
At Kellerman Real Estate, we're often asked, how is the real estate market? While times are different with higher interest rates and a shortage of inventory, it's still a great time to buy and sell property. Consulting with an agent is more important today than ever to understand how you can best position yourself in this market. At Kellerman Real Estate in Holton, we are ready to accompany you on your real estate journey. After all, we live, work, and play where you do.
Ron Kirk's Body Shop in Holton. We've been taking the dents out of accidents since 1983. From collision to paintless dentless repair, window tinting, frame adjustments, auto painting, and glass repair, we do it all. Ron Kirk's professional service also includes local pickup and delivery and the handling of insurance paperwork. We take pride as a locally owned business of getting you back on the road in no time. But the best part of our job is the friends we make by accident. Ron Kirk's Body Shop in Holton, Kansas.
Denison State Bank, putting your interests at heart.
Denison State Bank is here to help local businesses. From sole proprietors to storefront shops, we have the money to loan and the expertise to share. Our digital auto books lets local businesses receive card and ACH payments within their online banking.
Denison State Bank, putting your interests at heart.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Lifetime Eye Care of Holton is a premier eye care facility with three local doctors, Leslie Gallagher, Nikki Mirpool, and Stacy Mihus. These eye docs will wow you with their dedication to providing excellence in patient care, clinical education, and optical services with the very best and latest technology on site. Lifetime Eye Care also provides the highest quality lenses, frames, and contacts to correct your vision and protect your eye health. Online at LifetimeHolton.com or stop by for advanced eye care with a hometown touch. Lifetime Eye Care is on the south side of the Holton Square.
This is the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Moments away from the first pitch, first of three games here this afternoon on a KNZA. It's a beautiful Friday spring afternoon, but something we should mention here today, Crendon, and something we have certainly dealt with for a good chunk of our regular season broadcast. It is windy, brother. It is a heavy breeze blowing out towards right field today. Maybe the left-handed hitters certainly have a little bit of an advantage there, but we've had windy days, but it is very windy here today in Sabetha.
It is a surefire guarantee that any ball that gets hooked out to right field will, a single could be easily a double could be a triple, and of course a triple will definitely go over the fence for the home run, 360 in that corner. It's a 77 degree day, and it's an 18 mile per hour wind coming out of the northeast again, blowing more so from the east directly into that right corner. And I've seen a couple times the flag kind of out in that right center blow more towards the infield, so I think, but most part it is just kind of firing between that center and then also the right, so it'll help a lot of those hitters today.
Well, let's talk about the starting pitcher here for Riverside. You mentioned that you had seen him, you did a broadcast in their 1-0 victory against Donovan West not too long ago, but he's pitched 43 innings this season and he's only given up 18 hits with 63 strikeouts and a 2.44 ERA. Number one team in this bracket going with their ace here this afternoon.
Yeah, talked about Hughes. Unfortunately, did not win that game against Donovan West. It was a loss, but he only held the team to one run, Donovan West Mustangs, and only two hits throughout that entire game. So, again, I mean, he really did his work in for him, and he also even struck out Cooper Everly, who at that point came into that game with only two strikeouts on the season. He struck him out two times, so he talked about a guy who's got soaring confidence from the mound and takes it with a lot of patience. He has a great ability to control this game. In his own plate.
Well, let's talk about on the other side again. Royal Valley, you know, searching for their first win in some time. They got some good senior leadership. They got some guys who can hit. And you look at some of their scores throughout the year. I mean, they have been competitive. It's not like they're getting run out, you know, in all of their games, you know, but you look back at some of their games that were maybe a little bit closer, you know. But at the end of the day, the Big East was certainly, again, one of the best leagues in terms of baseball here in the state. But we talked about it again. You wipe everything out the window. Records are just simply irrelevant. But nonetheless, you know, this Royal Valley team, they're coming in thinking, hey, we got nothing to lose. Let's just go out and give it our all.
You're absolutely right. There is nothing to lose. I mean, you've lost the last 40 straight games. If anything, you are against a wall. You want to go out and win. And this senior group, I mean, they've won 2 years without a win, so they want to go out there and win. I mean, you have Aiken, Jackson Stevens, as well as Carter Geiger, all here on the starting lineup. Out of the three seniors, they want to come out here and get this win today.
What do you talk about in terms of keys for today's game? I mean, Riverside, you look at them, a lot of freshmen. They have no seniors, which certainly bodes well for them over the next few seasons because you just see the amount of freshmen that they have, the success that they have had this year with not one single senior on their roster. This is a team, you know, and you can even compare it to, like, basketball and football as well. Again, it's more underclassmen than upperclassmen. So this is just not just for baseball, but when you look at really all sports, that a lot of these kids have played in, they are set up for pretty good success over the next few years.
Yeah, and a lot of success is also assisted and helped by coaching. And Bryce Payton, the head coach of the Cyclones, he knows what he's dealt with. And to have a team like this as young and to go to this point 15-5 on the season and to finish 14-4 in the AKL, very competitive year that his team really had a grid through. They played a lot of great teams like Valley Falls. Unfortunately, they did fall in an 0-2 to them in the doubleheader series. But that's a ranked team in Class 1 to 2A. So for this team, you know, they are bringing up a lot of young guys, and right now they're looking very impressive.
Riverside has taken the field, and Keegan Hughes getting his warm-up tosses in. Again, it's going to be a heavy afternoon of high school baseball here on KNZA. Three games on tap. First one getting ready to get underway with Riverside and Royal Valley. You got Hiawatha, Nemaha Central in Game 2. Sabetha and Atchison County will round things out
later on tonight. We mentioned the starting pitcher here for Riverside and Keegan Hughes, a 2.44 ERA, 63 strikeouts, and 43 innings of work. The top of the order here that he will see for Royal Valley, Gavin Aiken, Mason Keene, and Jackson Stevens. Cyclones, the black jersey tops, white pinstripe pants. They got the Carolina blue numerals and lettering trimmed out in white. Royal Valley in the black tops with the purple sleeves. They have white numerals and lettering. Royal Valley across the chest. They have white pants with a single stripe down each side. Well, again, welcome to our coverage here this afternoon. Senior first baseman Gavin Aiken is set to step into the right side batter's box. Keegan Hughes getting the final set here on the rubber. And we are set for baseball here on KNCA, KPBT, and Double K with you. And the first pitch is a little bit upstairs for ball one by Keegan Hughes, and we are underway. That heavy breeze blowing out towards the corner and right. Here in Sabetha today, Hughes' next pitch is a little bit outside. Two balls, no strikes. Dimensions of the field here in Sabetha, 319 down the left field line, 317 down the right field line, 381 to straightaway center. Here's a 2-0 by Hughes. Fastball in there on the outside part of the plate for a called strike, and now on Aiken, it's 2-1.
Yeah, and Hughes just working around the zone. He went upstairs on his first pitch. Now he's going to the left side corner.
Comes back with it off speed. Ground ball to the right side. Foley Fields has time. Gets number two, Deming. Makes the first play and first out of the day on a ground out to second. And that brings up sophomore Mason Keene.
Yeah, he's did a great job fishing out the contact pitch. And he was able to get that contact and great play out from Foley.
Here is Mason Keene, sophomore third baseman. That's from the right side. Where's jersey number nine? Hughes kicks and deals. A little bit low and inside for ball one. Well, the last time out for Royal Valley was back on May 8th. They lost 2-2 Perry LeCompton, 16-5 and 13-0. Here's another high chopper. This time, shortstop side. It's fielded by the third baseman, and Schoenfelder makes the throw just in time for the out. And a good start here for Keegan Hughes. Ground out to second, and then a ground out to third.
And that was great communication there by Schoenfelder. Again, you mentioned it was to the shortstop side, but Schoenfelder was able to step in, cut it off, nice curve off the first base, and was able to beat out the runner.
There is senior left fielder Jackson Stevens. Good multi-sport athlete, good basketball player. Steps in from the right side, swing and a miss at an off-speed pitch. Count jumps out to no balls, one strike. Where's jersey number one? Mentioned batting from the right side, a little bit open on the stance, resting that bat above the right shoulder. Hughes fires one in. This one is lifted out towards right field. Bennett's backing up, and the wind played a part, and it's over his head. Bouncing up against the wall, Stevens rounding with the helmet flying off. He wants more than a double, and he's heading for third, and he's in there with a sliding triple with two outs here in the first.
And when I started this broadcast, I said singles turn to doubles, doubles turn to triples, and that's a prime case right there. It went right over the head of Luke Bennett's out in right field. The wind just keeps hurling it. And speaking about hurling, there's a helmet that is still hurling all the way down to the right corner getting picked up. Or that was a hat, excuse me, by the first baseman.
Boy, the right fielders today are going to have quite the challenges, and that was a prime example. We talked about it in the pregame, and Stevens got a good barrel on the bat, and it just continued to carry Bennett's back, and simply over his head, one hop the fence, and Stevens now at third base with two outs for the cleanup man and junior catcher in John Young. Hughes sets and fires, a fastball right down Broadway, no balls, one strike. So a good opportunity here, base hit would give Royal Valley an early lead. And Hughes, a 2.44 ERA coming into this matchup here today as Young fouls away the next pitch, and he's quickly behind it. No balls, two strikes.
And now Hughes has his first batter on an 0-2 count. Young is going to have to protect. Hughes is going to have to use his experience from the mound to deal that strike and leave that runner stranded on third.
Here's the 0-2. High ground ball, deep shortstop hole. Sigrist Fields, long throw, gets it there in time for the out to save a run and end the inning. A difficult player. Correction, that was Kaler at short. Beg your pardon. Miscalled that one, but nonetheless, Kaler made a great play to save a run, and that retires the side. So, one hit, one left, and no errors in the inning. We go to the bottom of the first inning. No score here on KNZA.
When you need a handyman, call John's Repair in Holton. From portable welding services to HVAC, heat, and air, John McManical will fix the job right. Call 969-6400 for John's Repair. They even give a discount to senior citizens. 969-6400 for John's Repair in Holton.
Kime TS of Cepeda is a local, family-owned trucking company with more than 65 years experience. With 200 of the best drivers in the business, Kime offers the most competitive benefits in the industry with a priority of keeping all drivers safe and comfortable. Visit KimeTS.com to learn more. Kime Trucking of Cepeda. We make it happen.
When your vehicle, truck, or trailer has a problem, there's only one place that will fix it right and fast, and that's Floyd's Truck Repair. With their experienced staff along with their parts and equipment, they can fix any problem and get you back on the road in a jiffy. That's Floyd's Truck Repair at the junction of Highway 75 and 36 south of Sabetha.
Wish your vehicle looked new again? Trust the professionals at the Fender Mender in Everest, providing free estimates for body repair, paintwork, and glass installation. No job is too big or small. The Fender Mender in Everest, mending broken parts.
This is the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Coverage continues here this afternoon on KNZA. Class 3A regional quarterfinal games here in Sabetha. Quinton Prophet, Brandon Tadman, and Kirk Hillman in studio. Well, Royal Valley in the top of the first inning got a two-out triple by Jackson Stevens, but left stranded there on a nice play by Kaler at short. No scores. We go to the home half of inning number one, junior Chase Ewens. And catcher leading things off here for the one seed in this tournament, the Riverside Cyclones. Gerald Wawasik, the pitcher for Royal Valley, chucks in a first pitch strike, and the bottom of the first is underway.
And Chase Ewens, he's a young junior. He's got a great year up to this point, leading the team off with a .364 batting average and 24 hits on the year.
Wawasik, an 0-1 count, fires, bends it in there, missed on the inside part of the plate, and it evens up, one ball, one strike. Keegan Hughes will follow, Mason Hayes after that, top three in the order for the Cyclones here in this quarterfinal matchup. Wawasik shakes off one, says yes to that second call. Here it comes, a little bit high, two balls, one strike. Well, how crucial it is pitching and defense plays in games of this magnitude. And with the win today, it's going to put a heavy emphasis, especially on that right side of the field. Here's a 2-1 by Wawasik, and it's a ground ball, high hop, fielded at third by Keene, long throw, knee high, just in time for out number one.
Yeah, it was a perfect play by Mason Keene, just being able to scoop it up from the ground and throw it, and that's that kind of execution that you're going to need in a game like this between these two teams. And for Royal Valley, again, a team that has not won a game in two seasons, they need that perfect execution. There cannot be an error on the board.
Well, just as good as Keegan Hughes has been on the rubber, he is just as good at the plate. .421 average, 29 hits, and 20 RBIs. Steps in for the first time today, takes a breaking ball outside for ball number one.
Yeah, and last week against Dauphin West, he was really putting in most of the work. He reached base twice while also doing all the work from the mound for his team, too.
Wawasik standing at first base side of the rubber, kicks, a right-hander throws it in, catching the outside part of the plate, and it's one ball, one strike.
And it's really just impressive that, again, he's just a sophomore. He'll be a leader of this team for the next 2 years, too, for the Cyclones.
Not a single senior on this regional tournament roster for this 15-5 Cyclones team. Hard shot, left side, fielded on two hops by Geiger, has time to make the throw, and gets it to first in time, and quickly a couple of ground outs, and a good start here for Wawasik on the rubber. That'll bring up Mason Hayes, the junior center fielder.
That was a solid pickup by Guy Green. He slowed himself down before that throw, too. He didn't hurry himself necessarily. He just had a nice flick to first base to Aiken to get that out.
So here is Mason Hayes, the junior center fielder. .386 batting average coming in. Wawasik sets and deals. Bends one in there for a called strike, and it's 0-1. Defensively behind Wawasik, you got Young the catcher, Keene at third, Geiger at short, Cooper Stevens at second, Aiken at first, Jackson Stevens in left, Taylor in center, Bradley is in right. 0-2, the 0-1, excuse me, a little bit outside, one ball, one strike. Royal Valley's first two batters in the top of the first set down on a couple of groundouts, but they got a two-out triple. Jackson Stevens left stranded there as this one is fouled away, and Hayes drops behind at one ball, two strikes. Now, good fan support in game number one with Marysville winning over Morehill Mount Academy. Exact same scenario here with Riverside and Royal Valley. First of three games
here on KNZA today. Here's a 1-2. It is lifted to shallow right center field, and that ball's going to drop in for a hit. And it's going to be a two-out single for Mason Hayes. That'll bring up sophomore right fielder Luke Bennett.
And great piece of contact for Hayes, just out in right center, just gapped right between the second center and right fielder, and just dropped beautifully right between all of them.
Now, Taylor, the center fielder, got there quickly, but Hayes, his pace down the line, showed that he was more than certainly comfortable with holding at first with a single. Now a two-out base runner here for Riverside. Here's a stolen base attempt. Good throw. Tag is not in time. It was a bang-bang play. But Mason Hayes just getting under the tag for our first stolen base of this afternoon.
Yeah, that was a really great throw by Young, too, all the way to Stevens, covering that second base bag. Just unfortunately, probably just a little touch off the heat scale.
Two outs, runner in scoring position. No score, bottom of the first. Next pitch is lifted out towards center field, and that is a base knock. And that's going to give Riverside the first lead of the game. And chug it around first into second with a double is Bennett. And the Cyclones take the 1-0 lead.
How about that for the Cyclones? They have two down to start the inning with Hewins and Hughes, and then right back, you're able to bounce back with Hayes getting the single out to right, and then Luke Bennett just being able to launch one out into to center left, and that's what you want to do. You want to rally with those two outs, and Riverside already taking the 1-0 lead.
All right, here is freshman shortstop in Kobe Kaler. Where's jersey number 7? That's from the right side. Bennett's at second base with two down. Cyclones leading 1-0 here in the bottom of the first. Wasik looks back, not much of a lead, and there's a swing and a miss right there. Breaking ball that bent outside of the plate. And here on Kaler, no balls, one strike. Good piece of two-out hitting here in this first inning for the Cyclones. 15 wins and 5 losses. They started the season 8-0 and won 11 of their first 12 games, but just 4-4 over their last 8. Wasik chucked it back to second base, keeping Bennett a little bit on it. Didn't have too much of a lead back there. Wasik out of the stretch, standing closer to the first base side of the line. Looks back at second. Here's a 1-0. Outside, 2 balls, no strikes. This middle part of the order. Sophomore, freshman, freshman, freshman for Riverside in a very young team, but set up for good success here over the next few seasons. Here's Wasik's pitch, 2-1, and it's a swing and a miss. Throw down to third, and the tag is not in time. Another close play as Bennett took off. And now he moves up to third base, but the count now 2 balls, 2 strikes here on Kaler.
And the second take here for the Cyclones, and right there, Bennett, he had a great lead off of second base. I was really figuring, well, Wasik was going to take that throw back to the pick, but no, he held off on it, and, you know, that was kind of the danger of the situation, is then Bennett was able to take that nice lead for a take to third.
Ground ball and fielded right on the mound by Wasik. He runs over towards first, underhands it to Aiken to retire the side, but again, two-out hitting. It's Riverside on the board, an RBI double by Luke Bennett, and the Cyclones leading Royal Valley 1-0. We go to the second inning right after this on KNZA.
I'm Ryan Beffert, mortgage loan officer at the Farmers State Bank in Holton. What we're truly known for is being an in-house lender. We have a suite of our own loan products that may fall outside of the traditional lending guidelines. Our most popular loan products, small she sheds or man caves for the backyard, barn dominiums, rental rehabs, and investment property flips. Reach out to us here at the Farmers State Bank and we'll guide you in the right direction.
That's what I like about Farmers State Bank.
In Holton, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Cody Ireland with Ice Automotive, just south of Holton.
Welcome to Ice Automotive, your destination for top-notch automotive care.
Cody, what do you guys specialize in?
Specializing in light and medium diesel repairs. We excel in stock trailer wiring and repairs, alignment services, tire solutions, and more. Your one-stop, full-service shop for all your automotive needs. Trust us for expert care and reliable service. Let Ice Automotive keep you rolling smoothly on the road.
Visit iceautomotivellc.com or call 364-2871 to schedule your appointment today.
This is the MSC Sports Radio Network.
The Gopher, Kirk Hillman in studio, Brandon Tamman, Crendon Prophet with you. We go to the second inning here on KNZA. First of three games in Sabetha, quarterfinals of this 3A regional baseball tournament, an RBI double for Riverside's Luke Bennett. in that first inning, and the Cyclones a 1-0 lead as we go to the second inning. Keegan Hughes back to work now with the first lead for the Cyclones today, and the first pitch is a swing and a miss by Gerald Wolosik for strike number one. Ronan Gentile and Cooper Stevens will follow for the Panthers in this second inning. Next pitch by Hughes. Hit off the end part of the bat. A little dribbler to the left side. Fielded at third. Long throw. Good stretch. In time for the out. Sean Felder running to his left on a high hop and a low throw. Dimming dug it out. And the first out here in the second is a ground out to third.
It looks like he went aggressive on that on his first at bat of the game. He took kind of a hard half swing on his first off the first pitch. On the second one, he dug up real low, and now just went right to third baseman.
Here is Ronan Gentile, junior DH, bats from the right side, and he fouls away the first pitch back into the netting, and so on one. Going back, we're certainly not deep into this game, but all the outs that have been recorded have been via the ground outs. Not seen a flyout or a strikeout so far. As the next pitch to Gentile is fouled away, and it's quickly 0-2.
Well, your showman isn't nothing without its cast, and that's a fact of the tale at the end of the day. In both these teams, they have a great infield that's supporting him, and you have to have play clean, no errors. And so far, both teams are doing great.
Here's an 0-2, swing and a miss. Got him with the belt-high fastball. So our first strikeout of the game, Gentile retired, and quickly two up and two down here in the second.
A strikeout of the season number 64 for the young sophomore in Hughes, already again building that resume in his sophomore year. And, you know, as the years goes on, he's just going to be more dominant from that mound position.
So here's the freshman and second baseman, Cooper Stevens. Checks in with two outs, nobody on. He swings at the first pitch, ground ball, fielded well. Third baseman, Sean Felder, long throw across the diamond in time for the out. And a breezy 1-2-3 inning as Keegan Hughes retires the middle third of this Royal Valley order. 1.5 in the books here in Sabetha. Riverside 1, Royal Valley nothing. You're listening to High School Baseball on KNZA.
Kramer Agency Incorporated is your local, independent insurance agency located in Ozaukee. The family business continues with agent Julie Durand and her father, Bill Kramer. Being an independent insurance agency allows Kramer to find the perfect policy for you, but not strapped to one company. Call Julie today at 785-876-2493 to get a free quote. When's the last time you really let your insurance company work for you? Trust Julie Durand with Kramer Insurance in Ozaukee. Not only the best choice, but also the trusted choice.
Wouldn't it be nice to know your local pharmacist? Well, at Medical Pharmacy in Holton, you know everybody in the building. Open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturdays from 8 a.m. to noon. Take advantage of numerous services with delivery and a drive-thru on the north side of the building. Contact them at 364-2114. Medical Pharmacy is here to ensure you get your medication in a timely, safe manner. Medical Pharmacy in Holton, your locally owned, locally operated, and locally loved pharmacy, 1 mile north of Holton, adjacent to the Holton Hospital.
This is the MSC Sports Radio Network.
High school baseball here continuing this afternoon. We're off and running in Sabetha. Riverside, the top seed in this regional tournament, a 1-0 lead over Royal Valley as we go to the home second. Cyclones will have 6, 7, and 8 in their order, starting with Gavin Sean Felder, Brendan Deming after that, and Brody Huff in the hole. RBI double by Luke Bennett, credited with the lone run of the game to this point. As Wolosik sets and fires it in, way up and in, for ball one to Gavin Schoenfelder.
You mentioned at the beginning of this game how Riverside has 5 starting freshmen, and we're in the middle of the order right now. The fifth batter got out to end the first inning, but right now we're in this with the sixth with Schoenfelder, who's a freshman. Then next up is also another freshman in Brendan Deming. So again, real compliment here for this middle of the order to get going and show the dominance as just young freshmen.
Good pitch there by Wolosik. It swung on and missed by Schoenfelder. Evens the count. 1-1. I would say kind of between partly and mostly cloudy skies. A couple times we've seen the sun kind of peek behind those clouds, but right now the sun is out and shining as that next pitch is called strike on the outside corner, and Schoenfelder is down at 1-2. Likes the first sign from his catcher in Young. The 1-2 on the way. Just fouled away to stay alive. So we'll try it again at 1-2. And Royal Valley, they have had a tough last couple of years. Last win, May 10th of 2023 against Perry LeCompton. came into this matchup with a record of 0-20, all against league opponents. Another foul ball there by Sean Felder, and it stays one ball, two strikes.
Most runs they scored this year was in a 21-9 loss against Riley County all the way back in April 17th. So run production is a key here today for this Royal Valley team.
Wattick, another 1-2 on the way to Sean Felder, and he reaches out for it and just lifts it. It's a little lazy on the line drive, and it's caught by the shortstop in Geiger. He kind of had to leap to his left to make the catch, and as soon as he did, he kind of looked into his glove, wasn't sure if it was in there, but he does, in fact, secure the catch for out number one.
And that's just a show and tell of your athleticism out there from Geiger. He just let it just pop up and rip up in this glove. Just a nice little hop from second.
Now, key in this, or in a game like this, is always getting that first out of the inning. And, well, right when I say that, he runs one inside on Deming, and he hits them between the blades. Our first hit batter of the game, and Deming takes first with one out.
Now batting the DH, number 32, Rudy Huff.
So here's Brody Huff with a runner at first and one out. Cyclones leading at 1-0, batting in the home second. Junior DH Brody Huff. Big body from the right side, plays up in the box. Little wiggle with his stance. That bat moving up and down on the right shoulder. Here's the pitch, in there for a called strike, and it's 0-1. Freshman Parker Foley is on deck, and the Cyclones got their run and production in the first inning, all with two outs. Right now, the runner at first, Deming, with one out here in the second. Here's the pitch. That one runs inside and hits him as well. Back-to-back hit batters, and now two on and one out here for number nine in the order and freshman second baseman Parker Foley.
And from pitcher's perspective right now, Wolfsick, it's just keeping that mental focus right now. Just keep your mind settled down the home plate, you know, getting your pitches in there and not trying to be so worried about your back-to-back hit batters you just had. I mean, there's one out on the board. A double play is an opportunity. Just keep yourself mentally focused.
Opportunity here for the Cyclones to add to their one-run lead. First pitch to Foley, taken in there for a called strike, and it's 0-1. Deming at second, Huff at first. Wasik shakes off one side, settles in middle of the rubber, staggered on his stance, kicks and fires, bends it in there, but just missed inside, and it's one ball, one strike. Good production throughout the top of this Cyclone order. Foley standing in there with a big RBI chance here, going the old-school direction with no batting gloves. Next pitch in the dirt, blocked by the catcher in Young. Might have saved a couple of steals there. And now the count, two balls, one strike. And the distance between home plates and the backstop here in Sabetha, it is a long way. So heavy emphasis defensively on the catchers in these games. Young did a good job there. Next pitch, hit to the left sideline. Drive over the jumping hands of Geiger and out the left field for a base hit. Rounding third is Deming. He will score, and going up to second base is Foley. And the Cyclones double up their lead on the RBI by number nine in the order in Parker Foley.
Well, Geiger was able to shelf his vertical earlier, but unfortunately that would have had to probably been a 70-inch jump off the ground, and that just probably wasn't going to happen there for Geiger. And, yeah, just a great hit out the center left, just lined.
So that moves Huff from first to third. Foley's at second base, so now two in scoring position, still only one out. Riverside's lead is now 2-0, and back to the top of the order with Chase Ewens. Grounded out to third in his first at-bat today as Wawasik kicks and deals and missed it outside. Another good block there by the catcher in Young, and it's one ball, no strikes.
Already in this inning, you can see that Riverside is starting to dig into the mentality of Wawasik. You have the two-hit batters, and Parker Foley in the bottom of the lineup, a freshman, is able to take advantage, have that RBI double.
Here's the 1-0 by Wawasik, and this is lined down the left field line, just about 3-4 feet foul. And even the count, one ball, one strike.
You know, this surprise 18-mile-per-hour wind blowing out of the east didn't help that one stay inside, and that's something you got to worry about a little bit. You're going to see a couple of those get hit to the left, and then they could just maybe just breeze themselves into that line.
One ball, one strike, one out, two on. 2-0 Riverside, batting in the bottom of the second. Here's Wolosik's pitch, runs inside, nearly got Hewins, but just missed him. And Hewins takes the advantage away at two balls, one strike. Riverside team won 15 games this season. The number one seed in this 18 field. Wasik's next pitch. Little slow roller to the left side, fielded by the third baseman in Keene. It's going to score a run. They get the out at first, but the lead now 3-0. Productive at bat for Chase Hewins on the RBI ground out.
Yeah, that's all you can do is have a productive at bat for Chase Hewins. He bats in his RBI number 18th of the season and for himself and for Coach Bryce Patton. Payton, I'm sure he's not mad about it.
So now 3-0. Cyclones have scored twice here. Now two outs. Foley moved from second to third, so he is there for Keegan Hughes, who grounded out to short in his first at-bat today. Pitch by Wolosik. Bends in there, catching the outside part of the plate for a called strike. The trees beyond the fence. Almost looking like the wind is pushing them at an angle. It's breezing so heavy here today. Next pitch runs inside, missing. One ball, one strike.
Yeah, you definitely have to feel for the birds out there. They're taking some cover.
No doubt about it, but the Cyclones, again, building on their lead here early in this game. They have scored twice here in this inning. They lead it 3-0 on three hits. Here's the pitch. Next one outside gets away, and holding it third was Foley. A little hesitation there. Got away from Young, but not far enough to take a dash towards home. And now the count here on Hughes is two balls and one strike.
Yeah, Foley doesn't have a too big of a lead, and you really don't need to with two outs on the board. You need a hit here from Hughes to get that runner to score.
Sophomore Keegan Hughes wearing jersey number 11, batting second here today. RBI chance with a base hit with two outs. Wolosik sets. Glancing at third at Foley, not much of a lead. Glancing again, does so a third time, kicks and deals a 2-1. It runs inside, and it's three balls, one strike. Well, Mason Hayes is on deck here for the Cyclones. After today's quarterfinal games, semifinals and championship, right back here next Wednesday as that next pitch runs outside for ball four and a two-out walk to Hughes, and now they're at the corners for Mason Hayes.
Yeah, and talk about the Cyclones already, just their offensive production in this inning. They've already brought up seven batters now, and through that they've been able to record a hit. They've had four runners total reach now, and, you know, the production is looking up for them.
Well, Wasik just needs to get this final out. Right out the gate, Hayes showed bunt, but before the pitch, Wasik turned and fired over to first base, and Hughes was back in safely. Got to be careful with those with two outs, especially with a runner at third, because a wild throw that gets away more than likely will give up a run, and now we have a stoppage of play here as they're looking at Hughes at first base after he slid back in. Not sure if they're maybe looking at a helmet. Might be an equipment issue, not so much an injury. Right now, a little pause in the action. Looks like they're doing something with his helmet. But again, two outs here. The Cyclones have runners at the corners. They have scored twice in the inning, and their lead is 3-0. Now here comes the Cyclones coaching staff, and they're checking on Hughes to... might have been something injury-related, but he gave the thumbs up and appears to be okay. Playing the Adams Family music in between there. That's nice. Do, 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 do. You snap the fingers when you do that.
Well, right now it's Hayes who's trying to get the snap of the bat.
There you go.
Score run.
All right, back to it. Hughes is all good over at first base. Mason Hayes awaiting the first pitch here from Wolosik. He will show bunt. And they called a balk, and a run is going to score. Wow.
Yeah, Wolosik just not getting properly set there, and that's kind of unfortunate. We had all that downtime just then, and Wolosik, he's just battled so mentally in this inning with a walk, two hit by pitches, as well as that double, and he's already let three runs score here.
So a balk brings home Foley, and it's now 4-0. And in the process, Hughes is up to second base, and there's a swing and a miss for strike number one to Mason Hayes. So a good, productive inning here for the top seed Cyclones. Third place in the Northeast Kansas League. Of course, the Valley Falls Dragons, an undefeated championship there with Oskaloosa finishing right behind Valley in second. Riverside here, a third place finish in the league this season. Wasik, an 0-1 pitch is on the way, and it's a swing and a miss for strike number two. Runner at second base, Keegan Hughes, two outs in the inning. 4-0 Riverside. Wasik sets, right foot nestled on the rubber. Now he steps off and resets. But the count is 0-2.
Yeah, just a big mental inning right now for Wasik. And, you know, after this inning, once you can get it over, again, two outs on the board. Just have to get out of it. After that, you shut the lid on this inning, and you try to bounce back with the next five.
Pitch runs up and in. Hughes, boy, he started to go to third, and it was played nicely by Young. Got up to the feet quickly and ran him back to second base. But the count here on Mason Hayes, now 1-2. Well, in this inning, Wasik hit two batters. He has also given up a walk. RBIs in the inning from Foley, a number 9 hitter, also Hewins on a ground out. Here's a pitch in the dirt, and taking off with Hughes, and he gets to third without a throw. But now the count, 2-2 here on Hayes. Well, Wasik just needs to do everything he can to get out of this inning with no more harm done. Here's the pitch, and it's hit to the left side. A line drive caught perfectly. Keene didn't have to move anywhere from his third base side to make the catch to retire the side. But a very productive inning for Riverside. They score 3, and their lead after two innings against Royal Valley is 4-0. You're listening to High School Baseball here on KNZA.
This is Mark Starr at GN Bank. We support you as you turn goals into accomplishments. That might be purchasing your first car, opening a small business, buying a home, harvesting that bumper crop, or preparing for a new life after retirement. GM Bank is here for all your life's milestones. We strive and will continue to strive to be your best place to bank and borrow. GN Bank, with locations in Holton, Hiawatha, Horton, and Wetmore. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Wouldn't it be nice to know your local pharmacist? Well, at Medical Pharmacy in Holton, you know everybody in the building. Open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturdays from 8 a.m. to noon. Take advantage of numerous services with delivery and a drive-thru on the north side of the building. Contact them at 364-2114. Medical Pharmacy is here to ensure you get your medication in a timely, safe manner. Medical Pharmacy in Holton, your locally owned, locally operated, and locally loved pharmacy, 1 mile north of Holton, adjacent to the Holton Hospital.
This is the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Triple team in this triple header here today on KNCA. Kirk Kilman in studio, Crennan Prophet, Brandon Tedman with you. The Riverside Cyclones, a 3-spot in the bottom of the second inning. Their lead on Royal Valley is 4-0. We go to the top of the third inning as Keegan Hughes is back on the rubber. He'll face 8-9-1 in this Panther order, starting here with senior shortstop Carter Geiger. First pitch runs up and in, nearly got him, but Geiger backs away, and it's 1-0.
Well, if Geiger is anywhere athletic as he is on the defensive side, he had that incredible play just nearing off a couple of feet off the second base, his high jump, showing off that verticality to get one of the first outs of that inning. Unfortunately, it was after two outs, all the runs came in and scored there for the Cyclones, but a chance here for the Panthers to respond in the bottom of the order.
Here's the 1-0, another one inside, and misses, 2-0. Geiger, Taylor, and Aiken do up here for the Panthers, trailing 4-0 here. Top three. Mentioned how good Keegan Hughes has been. Came in two today, a 2.44 ERA. Kicks and deals. Fastball in there for a called strike, and it's 2-1. Defensively behind Hughes, you got Hewins the catcher, Sean Felder at third, Kaler at short, Foley at second, Deming at first. Left field to right, Sigrist, Hayes, and Bennett. Next pitch inside, 3-1. Riverside scoring 1 in the first and 3 in the second. 3-1 pitch by Hughes, and it kicks in the dirt, ball 4, and a leadoff base runner here is Geiger, takes the walk. Well, the ball got away, and I think some fans were yelling at him to maybe round first and try to head for second, but Hewins chased it down quickly, and a leadoff walk brings up Tayson Taylor.
Yeah, Hewins just kind of had a delayed reaction on going forward. You mentioned the ball, the pitch went into the dirt. Well, not only hit into the dirt, but it just clipped the front of the home plate bag, and it clipped it and flipped it all the way up in the air in an arc spiral, and it just went all the way to the backstop. And Hewins just had a really big delayed reaction on it.
First time today in three innings. Panthers have their leadoff men on. First walk issued today as well for Hughes. Kind of ran Geiger back to first. First pitch, a high off-speed pitch that swung on and missed, and Hewin's throwing down to first to Deming, but Geiger back in there safely. So Taylor, a swing and the miss there. We'll start behind at 0-1. A freshman center fielder wearing jersey number 3. Hughes, another throw to first, on target but not in time. And certainly Hughes, at least interested in what Geiger is doing over there. Next pitch, a swing and a miss, and it's quickly 0-2. Once again, first of three games here on KNZA. Hiawatha and Nemaha Central will be our next game after this one. Next pitch runs up and in. It's now 1-2. And then the final game, the host, Sabetha Blue Jays and Atchison County Tigers. Semifinals and championship right back here next week. Hughes will step off the rubber, reset, count 1-2 here on Taylor. With Geiger at first base and nobody out. Cyclones with a 4-0 lead here in the top of the third. Next pitch, swing and a miss, strike him out, potential throw him out, but it gets away at second base. But they do get the strikeout on Taylor, second strikeout for Hughes, but Geiger gets up into scoring position with one out.
Yeah, first steal of the game for the Panthers. Cyclones already have 3 steals, so you know, for the Panthers to manipulate the base pass like this, it's good to see for themselves. Geiger being able to see if that takeoff, and there Hewin's just not a quite tight throw, just probably 8 foot to the right off of the second base bag.
And a fake throw to second there. Hughes stepped off the rubber, now dealing with the top of the order here. Gavin Aiken, senior first baseman, grounded out to second in his first at bat, and that pitch gets away all the way to the backstop, and that wild pitch gets Geiger to third.
Well, for a second there, I thought we were playing pinball. The way was the ball was bouncing against the backstop. It probably hit off 2, maybe 3 times. I think it's like 800 points.
Yeah, a productive at bat here could give Royal Valley their first run of the game. And a runner at third with one out here in the inning, trailing Riverside 4-0. Pitch is up and in, ducking out of the way is Aiken, and it's 2-0.
But again, I go back to the wild pitch, and right there, another pitch that just went high over Sword Aiken. Hughes just having to reset and find that control in the strike zone.
Hughes trying to keep that goose egg on the board for Royal Valley. He is behind in the count 2-0. Here's the pitch. Just missed a little bit up and out, and it's 3-0. Mason Keene on deck for the Panthers. They try to chip away, get an opportunity to get on the board here, down 4 in the third. Hughes out of the windup with the runner at third, and the pitch hits him. So on 3-0, take one off the left side part of the body, and now 2-0. They're at the corners with one out. And Hewin's the catcher going out to have a brief chat with Keegan Hughes.
Yeah, wow, what a tough take there by Aiken. That fastball rode right into his left elbow, and he just sat there, and it just pelted him. And he just took it, and there you go. Runners in the corners, and a chance for the Panthers to look to respond.
Now batting third baseman, number 9.
Here's Keene, RBI chance here for Royal Valley. Can't squander opportunities like this in a game of this magnitude. Win and move on, lose, your season is done. First round here, these games in Sabetha today. First pitch swinging, it's a high pop-up. The wind might be pushing this back into fair territory, and a great play by Sean Felder to make the catch for the out. Well, that ball started in foul territory, and that wind, if you would have dropped that, that would have been a fair ball, but a monstrous second out. And now it's up to Jackson Stevens to get that run in from third.
Yeah, you mentioned it was just out of the territory, and then it blew about 9 feet into the infield. And Sean Felder, he was kind of falling forward as well, but, man, that was just a great play by him.
So they're at the corners, but now 2 outs. Here's the first pitch to Stevens, missed upstairs with a fastball, and it's 1-0. Well, Stevens, the lone hit for Royal Valley. It was a 2-out triple in the first, but was left stranded there after John Young grounded out to short. There's a swing and a miss, and it's going to be 1-1. But in the process, Aiken takes second base.
A great recognition there by Chase Hewins behind the plate to realize no one's covering that second base bag. So instead of making that throw, he just cuts himself off by throwing to the pitcher in Hughes.
Here's a 1-1. Fouled straight back over the press box here. Out into the parking lot behind us, and it's 1-2. So, big opportunity here for Stevens, but he's down in the count at 1-2. A base hit could score 2 and cut this deficit in half for the Panthers. One ball, two strikes. Hughes sets. Glance at third, kicks and fires. Just missed outside with the fastball, and it evens up. Two balls, two strikes.
Yeah, went in for that outside left corner on the fastball. And we've seen Hughes change it up here quite literally with the changeup. Wouldn't be surprised you see it on the 2-2 count.
All right, second and third. Two outs here in the third. 2-2, just missed inside. Three balls, two strikes. The cleanup man, John Young, standing patiently in the on-deck circle. Big pitch here early in this game. 3-2 count, two outs, the pitch. Outside, ball four. And the bases are loaded for John Young. He represents the game-tying run as the Cyclones' lead is 4-0. But the Panthers putting something together here, but still two outs, so Young has to come through in some degree.
And we can bring right back up that one, 18 miles per hour, coming out of the east, going straight to that right corner. This could be a chance to tie this game right here for Young.
Hughes issuing his second walk today. First pitch swinging, hit high in the air towards the gap in right center field. Running into the gap in front of the warning track is Bennett to make the catch and retire the side. If that one gets away, multiple runs would have crossed home plate. But Royal Valley, they go scoreless. They leave them loaded with two outs. And we go to the bottom of the third inning here on KNCA with Riverside leading it 4-0.
In the ag market these days, insurance protection for your crop has never been more important. Crop hail protection provides coverage for hail, fire, vandalism, malicious mischief, truck overturn, and stored grain, to name a few. Green snap and wind can also be added for corn. Call Beth Dieters today at Midwest Crop Insurance in Seneca, Kansas, to protect your growing crop. For peace of mind on your piece of earth, call Midwest Crop Insurance, Seneca, Kansas, 785-334-CROP, an equal opportunity provider.
Rebates. Rebates. Get your rebates here.
That's right. Wilson Tire is serving up hot deals all season long. Slide into savings with rebates on top tire brands.
Rebates. Rebates. You can't drive without them.
Matt and Terry are in the dugout and ready to help you knock your tire troubles out of the park. Call Wilson Tire today at 785-362-TIRE. Wilson Tire, where rebates are always in season.
This is the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Well, Royal Valley, an opportunity in the top of the third. They leave the bases loaded, and a deep fly out to right center ended the threat, and the Cyclones' lead remains at 4-0 here on KNCA. Alongside Crinton Prophet, Brandon Tadman, Kurt Kilman in studio, we go to the bottom of the third inning with the Cyclones leading by four. And speaking of four, number four in the order, Luke Bennett will lead things off, followed by Kobe Kaler and Gavin Schoenfelder.
Yeah, you mentioned the order coming up, sophomore and three freshmen. So big opportunity here for the Cyclones to show off some of that young talent that they have to keep themselves in this game and continuing their lead.
Well, Bennett's got the score and started in the first with a two-out RBI double. He steps in there, takes a breaking ball in there on the inside part of the plate for a called strike. And it's 0-1, and the bottom of the third is underway.
Yeah, and that was a well-hit double, too, by him. Just going out to left center, barreled well in the middle of the bat. Bennett, you can see, has a nice eye for the ball.
Well, Wasik's 0-1 is dribbled to the right side, but foul. And it's no balls, two strikes here on Bennett. Wearing jersey number 26, batting from the right side. In the black tops, white pinstripe pants, Carolina blue numerals and lettering, trimmed out in white. Well, this Cyclones team here today. Resting the bat above the right shoulder is Bennett. Wawasik in front at 0-2. Here's the kick and delivery. Missed outside, one ball, two strikes. Wawasik looking for his first strikeout today. He has walked one, and he has hit two batters. That was back-to-back hitters in the last inning, where the Cyclones would go on to tally three runs in that frame, including a run scoring on a balk. Next pitch up and in, and it's 2-2.
Yeah, it's definitely been a big mental game here for Molesik. You mentioned the two-hit batters, the walk and the balk, the one that scored Parker Foley in that last inning for him. It's a big bounce back, mostly mentally.
Two balls, two strikes, nobody out, nobody on. Here in the bottom of the third, next pitch, missed low and inside, and the count runs full here on Bennett's at 3-2. So a good eye here is Bennett's got behind at 0-2, but now he has worked it to a full count.
And nothing would be better here for a mental recovery for Wosick on a full count against the leadoff man to get the out on the strikeout.
On the first two innings, Riverside did not get their leadoff man on, and right on cue, that pitch is outside for ball four. So a leadoff walk to Bennett, and that brings up Kaler. That is the second walk issued today by Wolosik. There's the freshman shortstop, Kobe Kaler. Ended the first inning with a ground out to the pitcher. Wolosik made a nice play to end that inning. He will throw back to first. Back in safely is Bennett. As Kaler again steps in. Kaler, pretty solid bat, but he is a very good pitcher as well with a 1.14 ERA. Probably you'll see him on the rubber at some point, potentially in this tournament. The next pitch, missed inside. It's one ball, one strike. Young threw down to Aiken at first, but Bennett was back in with a head first slide. Wolosik takes a long look at a 2.5-step lead, make it three. Aiken holding on the runner, and they will throw back again to first. And just like the last time, back in safely is Bennett. And now we'll step off the rubber. Well, the breeze is not dialed down in any way, shape, or form. Trees are moving beyond the fence behind center field. And now this is hit well, high in the air. The wind pushing it towards the gap and running to make a reaching catch with the left hand is the left fielder in Jackson Stevens. That took away extra bases and potentially a run.
And I'll tell you what, our first two innings that we had this game, there was no assistance from the outfield in those two innings, as in the sense that there was no balls that were playable to be caught out there, and we've already seen two incredible catches from the outfield. We were able to see Luke Bennett's one that he made out to end the third inning there for the Cyclones, and here already you see a ground out from the left by Stevens.
So here's Sean Felder, takes a pitch inside for ball one, one out, Bennett's at first, a 4-0 Cyclones lead as they bat here in the bottom of the third. That was a great play by Stevens in left. That gets away. That is multiple bases and probably another run on the board. Pitch by Wolosik. A little bit upstairs. Two balls, no strikes. Sean Felder lined out to short in his first at bat today. Stands in there for the second time against Wolosik. A little bit open on the stance. Wolosik, right foot, first base side of the rubber, and another throw to first, and back in safely is Bennett once again. Four runs, three hits, no errors. For Riverside, no runs, one hit, no errors. For the Panthers. Wolosik sets, fires, bends one in there, and it's just missed a little bit inside. And it's now three balls, no strikes. With Deming due up next. The Cyclones looking to add to their 4-0 lead in the bottom of the third. And Marysville awaits the winner of this game in the semifinals next week. Next pitch high, ball four. Sean Felder reaching for the first time today with a one-out walk. They're now at first and second for Brendan Deming. And we'll get a meeting on the hill here and a quick pause in the action. Well, again, mentioning Marysville, the winner today in game number one. They scored in all but two innings and eliminated Morehill Mounts Academy with a 16-5 victory today. So Marysville, their ninth win of the year. And again, awaits the winner of this one in next week's semifinal.
Yeah, it's a tough bracket for all of these teams, and for most of these teams, they're playing teams that they really haven't had a chance to see this year. So that's, you know, another big point of contention when you come into this. And we talk about this meeting right here from the mound, and it looks like Wolosik will be done here, and they'll bring in a different pitcher. And Wolosik, again, he's already given up four runs up to this point. He's walked two batters and just one down in this third inning.
So we do have a pitching change as Wolosik appears to be heading to third. We'll take a timeout, let you know who the new Royal Valley pitcher is right after this on the MSG Sports Radio Network.
Since 1996, R&S Maintenance Service has been a leader in industrial manufacturing, support, and repair in Meriden. From metal fabrication and repair to industrial millwright services, precision machine shop, certified welding, project design, equipment removal and installation, and dumpster service, R&S Maintenance Service is a proud supporter of local student-athletes. Visit online at rnsmaintenance.com or stop by off K4 Highway since 1996 in Meriden.
The Pines of Holton is hiring compassionate and dedicated CMA and CNA professionals to join our team. Hi, this is Mandy. If you are passionate about providing exceptional care to our residents and want to work in a supportive, friendly environment, we'd love to hear from you. We offer competitive pay, a great work atmosphere, and opportunities for growth. Apply today and become a valued member of the Pines of Holton family. At the Pines of Holton, it's our family caring for yours.
This is the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Well, the new pitcher here for Royal Valley is going to be Jackson Stevens as he takes over for Wawatic, who goes 2 1/3. He is responsible for the two current base runners that the Cyclones have, with Bennett at second base and Sean Felder at first, as the walks became a little bit of an issue here over the last inning and change. Three walks allowed and a couple of hit batters, and no strikeouts for Wawasa, giving up the four runs on three hits. Stevens is going to try to keep the Cyclones off the board here and keep this a four-run game. It's always a tough go, and you got to make a pitching change this early in a game. So defensively, the changes, Wawasa will go play at third. That puts Keene out in left. Everything else stays the same.
And you're right, Brian, making a pitching change this early in the game is tough, and Jackson Stevens isn't in a particularly great situation. One out is on the board, but the corners are loaded for himself. Of course, these runners would not be charged to him, but he's going to have to battle out here to keep them off the board.
All right, so here we go. Jackson Stevens, second pitcher today for Royal Valley. They trail Riverside here 4-0. They bat in the bottom of the third, and the first pitch is in there for a strike to Brendan Deming. And it is no balls and one strike. Stevens sets. He's a right-handed thrower. Deming, a right-handed hitter. Here's the pitch. Bouncing in the dirt. Good stab by Young to keep it in front. And evens up the count. 1-1. Deming was hit by a pitch in his first at-bat. Came around to score on the RBI double by Foley. The 1-1. Swing and a miss. Good off-speed pitch there. Deming way out in front. Stevens has the advantage here at 1-2.
That's a lot of confidence to see from a junior to come in right there in this kind of situation, right around first and second, already on a 1-2 count.
Ring it up, strike three. They get the call in the inside corner, and a monster strikeout there for Stevens, and the first batter he faces today. That's two outs in the inning. It's now up to junior DH and Brody Huff.
And honestly, it's not too often you see here in this classification that you see a guy that comes in and is able to deliver a strikeout on his first. On his first batter, something Wolsick was not able to do, while he was in here for the 2-1 inning.
Huff takes a fastball, inside part of the plate called strike, and it's 0-1. He was also hit by a pitch in his first at bat and scored on the ground out by Hewins. Riverside scored 1 in the first, 3 in the second. That one in the dirt outside, and now caught between second and third, and Young, the catcher, will throw it down to second base, but Bennett gets back there in a timely manner. The count evens up, 1-1. Stevens can get the hold here. That'll be a massive win for Royal Valley here. 1-1, 2 outs, 2 on. Here's the pitch, and it's a swing and a miss. And Huff is down at 1-2. And no Beckham Griffin today for Riverside, is dealing with an injury that's set him down since the early parts of the season. And there's a foul ball there to stay alive by Brody Huff. So try it again at 1-2. Bennett's at second. Sean Felder at first. 2 outs here in the bottom of the third as the top seed Cyclones, a 4-0 lead on the 8-seed Royal Valley Panthers. Hiawatha, Nemaha Central coming up next. Sabetha, ACCHS in our final game. And there's a swing and a miss, and down goes Huff. So coming on in relief with two on and one out, Jackson Stevens, back-to-back strikeouts to end that Riverside threat. Three innings down here in Sabetha. Riverside's lead is 4-0 here on KNCA.
American Family Insurance.
As your American Family Insurance agent in Holton, I'm looking out for what matters most to you, even when nothing's wrong. This is Brad Noller, agent. Call me at 785-364-3302 and let's talk about your insurance needs today. Contact Brad Noller, agent at 364-3302 or stop by one of our three locations on the Holton Square or Topeka today.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
At Foster, Ford, and Holton, we know your time is valuable. To make it convenient for you, all of our new and used inventory is online at www.fosterfordinc.com. Search through our new and used inventory, and if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call at 785-364-4646, and we'll be glad to help. Or you can always come see us at Foster Ford on Highway 75 in Holton.
This is the MSC Sports Radio Network.
High school baseball continuing here today on KNCA. We go to the fourth inning here in Sabetha. Riverside's lead over Royal Valley is 4-0. First of three games today on KNCA. Keegan Hughes back to work. His first pitch to Gerald Orwatic is taken for a called strike. And the fourth inning is underway. Wasik started the game on the mound, but was relieved by Jackson Stevens that last inning, and Stevens got out of a jam with back-to-back strikeouts. The Cyclones left a couple of runners on. Wasik's next pitch, Hughes' next pitch was taken for a strike, so it was 0-2, and the next one high and in, so now one ball, two strikes.
Well, I know the day on the mound ends here for Wasik, but still he has the ability to make production from the bat. So right here on a 1-2 count, we'll see.
Low and outside, two balls, two strikes. Good job by Wawasik, battling back from 0-2 to get it to 2-2. About to the halfway point of game number one here today. Next pitch, in there, called strike three on the inside corner, and down goes Wawasik. Went down looking, strikeout number three by Hughes today. That brings up Ronan Gentile.
And in Hughes' last three innings, he's been able to at least strike out one here. So he's doing a lot of help for his team, and of course he's getting a lot of help from his fielders, and of course is out finally an outfielder in the bottom of the last third inning.
Gentile, one of the three strikeout victims here today, stepping in, taking one high and in for ball one. We're in the top of the fourth inning. The Cyclones leading it 4-0. One run in the first, three in the second. They had two on and one out in the third, but Stevens came on in relief and got back-to-back strikeouts. Next pitch again inside. Two balls, no strikes here on Gentile. That's on the right side. Where's jersey number 33? The black tops, purple sleeves, white numerals, and lettering for Royal Valley out of the Big East. Next pitch in the dirt, and it's three balls, no strikes.
And last time up, Gentile struck out. This time he's already taking this next at bat with a little more patience, and he's earned it on a 3-0 count.
Three balls, no strikes, one out, nobody on. As Hughes kicks and deals. Put it right down the middle, and it's a called strike. Now three balls, one strike. The alignment behind Hughes has not changed for Riverside at this point. Royal Valley made a couple of defensive changes that last inning, and there's a swing and a miss, and from 3-0 to 3-2. Be a heck of a comeback here for Hughes if he can garner a potential strikeout. And here's the 3-2. It is low, ball four. So a good at-bat for Gentile. He reaches for the first time today. It is the third walk for Hughes. And that brings up freshman second baseman Cooper Stevens.
And for Royal Valley, they just have to replicate what they did in the last inning, getting three on base. They just need to get those runs to come in for themselves and record a hit.
Well, they had a couple of base runners on in scoring position the last inning, but left them stranded there. The deeper you get, you can't squander the opportunities. As the first pitch to Cooper Stevens is high for ball one. So again, Hughes has issued three walks. He has hit a batter, and he's given up a hit. So the Panthers have had some base runners today. Right now down 4-0. As Gentile slides back in to first safely, as Hughes with a dart over there. Deming applied the tag, but not in time. Hughes, right foot, first base side of the rubber, staggered stance, little bend to the knees, swings the right arm through with the pitch, and a swing and a foul tip for a strike, and it's 1-1. So the Cyclones, again, started the season 8-0. They won 11 of their first 12 games, but 4-4 over their last 8 coming in. That pitch runs up and inside. It pops out of the glove of Hewins, and that's going to allow Gentile to reach second base on the pass ball. So now the count 2-1 in favor of the freshman and Cooper Stevens. And the Panthers have a runner in scoring position with one out.
Buffalo Valley is key to get a hit with a runner in scoring position, something they haven't done so far. They've recorded only one hit this game. It was from Jackson Stevens, which is Cooper Stevens' brother, all the way up in that first inning recorded triple, but that's pretty much all they've wrote so far.
And it looks like Royal Valley's going to make a change. We're going to see a courtesy runner come in for Gentile here. And for Royal Valley, that is going to be Jace Johnson. So Johnson now going to run for Gentile at second base as they make that quick sub. The count now on Cooper Stevens, 2 balls, 1 strike, 1 out. Johnson now the runner at second base. Cyclones leading this game 4-0. Hughes standing behind the rubber. Still behind the rubber. Now he throws it back there. Ball kind of slipped out, kicked towards center field, but Johnson back in there safely. Well, we've seen really on both sides a lot of pickoff attempts, so these pitchers certainly having a key eye on these base runners here throughout the day so far. Let's see if we can get finally that 2-1 delivery to come in. As Hughes sets, it will not. He throws back to second, and Johnson back in there safely.
Now, right now, Kaler, he's playing not too far off that second base back from the shortstop position. We've usually been seeing the second baseman more so covering behind that plate, but now it's the shortstop, and he's leaning a little more closer than the runner is.
And finally, the 2-1 is in there, and it's fouled straight back by Cooper Stevens. Evens up the count, 2 balls, 2 strikes. Well, the sun is back out. We've seen it pop in and out of the clouds throughout the course of this game so far. Right now, that sun is shining. And the wind is not stopped out towards right field. Bends one in there. Hughes does. Called strike 3 on the inside part of the plate. And down goes Stevens for out number 2. Both strikeouts here in the inning have been looking. And for Hughes today, strikeout number 4.
Yeah, and just 3 strikeouts away from 70 on the year. He's doing a great job, especially on that that third strike call, delivering a nice curveball that has just been able to manipulate the batter into thinking that it's not going to be inside the zone.
So here's Carter Geiger, the opportunity now resting on his shoulder with the runner at second base and now 2 outs. And a swing and a miss on the first offering, so he falls behind at 0-1. Geiger walked in his first at-bat today, and he steps out, takes one inside to make it 1 ball, 1 strike. And Johnson, the courtesy runner at second base for Gentile. Gentile reached via a 1-out walk. Pitch by Hughes. Little bit low, 2 balls, 1 strike. Really the truest of opportunities for Royal Valley so far. Had 2 on in that last inning. They did have Stevens at 3rd with 2 outs in the first, but unable to get him in. So again, despite just 1 hit to this point, they have had a bevy of base runners left stranded today. There's a half-hearted check swing, but it's a called strike. And we're even Stevens at 2 balls, 2 strikes here on Geiger. Runner at second base. Base hit could give Royal Valley their first run of the game. Here's the 2-2, high and in. So for the second time in 4 batters face this inning, Hughes has worked it long enough to a full count. And Taylor, number 9 in the order, standing in the on-deck circle. In there, called strike 3, blew a fastball right by him, and Hughes will strike out the side here in the 4th inning. So he keeps the Royal Valley Goose Egg on the board, 3.5 in, 3.5 to go, and the Riverside Cyclones leading this game 4-0 on KNCA. Mm-hmm.
Bergston Insurance in Holton is a trusted choice agency offering home, auto, farm, and Medicare supplement insurance to Holton and surrounding areas. Whether you're buying a new house, car, toy, or wanting to shop your current insurance, give us a call today. Give Bergston Insurance a call today to shop your home, auto, farm, or Medicare supplement insurance. Bergston Insurance, 364-3771. 364-3771.
Life has its chapters, some joyful, some hard. But even in the darkest moments, there's hope. A new day will come. If you're hurting, you're not alone. Holton Community Hospital is here for you. Our licensed counselors and mental health team are ready to listen, support, and walk beside you. Call Holton Family Medicine at 785-364-2126 or visit HoltonHospital.com. Holton Community Hospital, personalized care, hometown heart.
This is the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Halfway in, game number one of three today. On KNTA, alongside Crittenden Prophet, Kurt Kilman, Brandon Tabman, the Riverside Cyclones leading the Royal Valley Panthers 4-0. As we come up here in the bottom of the fourth inning, it'll start with number nine in the order. Jackson Stevens back to work, came on in relief in that last inning for Wawasik. Struck out the first two batters he faced. He'll face Parker Foley here, and the first pitch runs inside for ball one, and the bottom of the fourth is underway. Foley had a nice piece of hitting in his first at bat again with an RBI double.
I was just going to mention Jackson Stevens and coming in with a one-out situation with 2-1 in the bottom of the third, and he was able to get it out with no runs given up, back-to-back Ks while looking. He's already off to a good, confident start from now.
Second pitch missed. 2-0 is a little bit outside, and Foley now the advantage at 3 balls, no strikes. And Riverside got their one run in the first on a two-out double by Luke Bennett. And that's going to be a four-pitch walk as that one runs a little bit inside. And for the second consecutive inning, the Cyclones have their leadoff man on. And the first walk issued today by Stevens in relief.
Yeah, and 4 total walks given up to the Cyclones, as well as 2 hit batters. That's 6 who've reached on base, not even having to get a hit.
That's a stat that certainly can hurt you at this point in the season. He shows bunt. That's Chase Hewens. He pulls back, takes one high for a ball. So we're back to the top of the order for Riverside, third time through. Hewens, a productive out in his last at bat, an RBI ground out to third. He's 0-2 today with that ground out. 1 ball, no strikes. Pitch by Stevens just off the outer edge, and it's going to be 2 balls, no strikes. In RBIs today, we mentioned Bennett's with the double. Hewens, the RBI ground out in the second, and then Foley as well with that RBI double. Now the runner takes off. The pitch was in the dirt. Throw is going to be way too late. That's going to be a stolen base for Foley. And now the count runs 3-0 here on Hewens. The meaty part of the batting order here for Riverside looming over the next few. And the 3-0 outside, ball four. So 8 straight pitches outside the zone here to start the fourth for Jackson Stevens. That's going to bring up Keegan Hughes, who has walked and is also grounded out. So a chance here for Riverside with a 4-0 lead to add to it with no outs and 2 on here in the bottom of the fourth. Stevens fires. That one is in there for a strike, and it's 0-1. A little bit closed on his stance from the right side, resting the bat above the right shoulder. Stevens now in a tough spot with 2 on and nobody out. Light leg kick, fires it in there. It's in the dirt. Good stop by Young. Evens the count, 1-1. We've seen Young behind the dish make a couple of nice plays here today, keeping that ball in front. Catcher is not an easy position to play. And the 1-1, tails outside, 2 balls, 1 strike.
Yeah, you mentioned the young star and John Young, and he has done an incredible job of being able to block a lot of pitches that have nearly gotten past him, past that plate.
2 on and nobody out. 2-1 count here on Hughes. Stevens, quick dart back to second base, and Foley back in there safely. When we talk about the youth of this Riverside team, not a single senior on their roster, bevy of freshmen in the lineup today. a team that went 15-5 and earned the number one seed in this regional. Next pitch swinging and fouling it away is Hughes out towards the vehicles, and it's two balls and two strikes. Back-to-back walks by Stevens in this inning to Foley and Hewins. But a 2-2 count here on number two in the order in Hughes. Stevens leaning first base side of the rubber, delivers, and it's lifted high in the air, but foul towards the Hiawatha players who are warming up down the right field line. Phase 2-2. This is the 1-8 matchup. Nemaha Central, Hiawatha up next. That is the 2-7 matchup. Next pitch in there. Caught the outside corner. Called strike three. Big first out there. It's the third strikeout already for Jackson Stevens. As I mentioned, a monster first out here in the fourth.
Stevens finally rewinding back to what he was doing at the end of that third inning when he caught those two outs. Looking now, he has three outs, all not looking. Just real fast delivery, being able to pan around the canvas and get those third strike calls.
First pitch to Mason Hayes. Bends in there for a called strike, and it's 0-1. Hayes a single and a run scored back in the first. He is also lined out to third. Has an RBI chance here with runners at first and second. Next one in the dirt. Another good block by Young. Evens the count at 1-1. Well, we talked about it during the last break. The importance of not getting behind much more if you're Royal Valley. Four-run deficit right now. Now this one is lined. Oh, and the shortstop misplayed it. And it gets all the way out into the gap in left center. One run is at least going to score. And the ball is cut off by the shortstop. But Geiger misplayed the line drive, and that's going to be an error and cost them a run as the Cyclones extend their lead. It's now 5-0.
Yeah, and that error from the shortstop position allowed Hayes to get all the way to second base. Now Hewin set up promptly at third base with only one out, and a big hitting chance here for Luke Bennett, who's already doubled for an RBI earlier in this game.
Well, both defenses have done a great job not committing any errors, and if you ask Geiger at short if he should have made that play, I am 99.9% sure he would have said yes. So a miscue there, and the Cyclones adding, and now second and third, and still only one out. And the first pitch to Luke Bennett is taken for a strike. He's had a good afternoon. The RBI double in the first and a walk in the third.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the bull graze the wood on that one. Just the ball right against the mitt, and unfortunately for him, he just misplayed it.
And now this one is hit out towards center field and down to a knee to make the catch for out number two, but it was deep enough to score the run. So a productive at bat. It's a sacrifice fly. Great play by Taylor in center to record that out. But Hewins tags from third, and the lead is now 6-0.
Bennett's picking up now RBI number 28 on the year for himself. And what a great play there by Hewins, especially waiting and making sure that that ball was caught before taking off the home plate. Because, really, I mean, you talk about it, it was a knee drive to the ground there out by Taylor out in center field. But did he catch it? Did he not? And they caught it out.
So two runs now scored in the inning. The lead is 6-0 here for Riverside. Now that pitch gets away. Taking off for third is Hayes. The throw is low and dug up nicely by Wawasik to keep it in front. But Hayes now safely there at third base. And the count, one ball, no strikes here on Kobe Kaler. Kaler's 0-for-2 today. A ground out to the pitcher and a line out to left. That line out to left was a fantastic play by Jackson Stevens, saving certainly extra bases a couple of innings ago. Stevens now pitching, and that one is upstairs. Two balls, no strikes. Fans continuing to pile in. It's always a great scene here in Sabetha for some baseball. And now that pitch kicks away from Young, and darting in from third is Hayes to score on the pass ball. And three now across in the inning. A touchdown advantage for the number one seed Cyclones. It is 7-0.
Fair to say that Mason can definitely run like Hayes, and he was able to get in there off the wild pitch. And again,
well, you beat me to that reference. So I'm not too happy about that.
But it has been some wild ball here for the Riverside Cyclones, but they have done a great job of running the base pass and getting on the base pass as well, as now they take a 7-0 lead.
A 3-0 pitch to Kaler is taken for a called strike, so now the bases are empty, but the Cyclones have blown it open here, and that one is up and in, and it's ball four to Kaler. So the inning stays alive. Second walk issued by Stevens, and that brings up Sean Felder. We're in the bottom of the fourth inning, so three more runs added to it. Got a run in on a pass ball, an error scoring a run as well, and now, or that was the 3-2 pitch. That was a pitch ahead there by Kaler, so he does take the walk now. That was my apologies there. So now here comes Gavin Schoenfelder. So Schoenfelder up for a third time. He walked in his last ABs, also lined out to short. Runner at first base is Kaler with two down, but three more across in the inning, all in different varieties. The Cyclones are blowing it open here in the bottom of the fourth. It's 7-0, just on three hits. First pitch by Stevens upstairs, ball one. And this Royal Valley team, it's been a tough go over the last couple of years, and running into a very good Cyclones team here in the first round of the regional tournament. Now a ground ball left side, out to left for a base hit. Good piece of hitting there, and that is Schoenfelder's first hit today, hit number four by the Cyclones. And going first to third, good piece of base running by Kaler. It was played a little bit slow by the left fielder in Keene, and Kaler read that beautifully and kept on his horse going first to third. So now they're at the corners with two down, and here is freshman Brendan Dimming. Stevens sets, first base side of the rubber, fires, and it's fouled away. Or strike number one. Schoenfelder took off for second, but has to go back to first on the foul ball.
Yeah, Schoenfelder already keeping a great lead there off of first base. And the Cyclones, we mentioned how great they've been running the base pass. Four stolen bases just alone so far in this game. And, man, they are showing a lot of dominance.
Well, the three runs scored in this inning by Riverside, one on an error, another one on a pass ball, and the other on a sack fly by Bennett, who has driven in two today. Now a throw to second. Ball pops out of the glove. Ricochets to shallow right. Runners advancing. Another one scoring. Well, it's kind of unraveling right now for Royal Valley. Is guessing that's probably going to be an error to some degree. Ball popped away, but nonetheless, a four spot here in the inning, and it's now 8-0 in favor of Riverside.
Yeah, Geiger was trying to run over to it, and he got past second base bag. He was stretching out that left hand for the glove, and it just popped right on out of it, went out into that shallow right portion of the field, and was able to get the score in for Kaler. And now Schoenfelder at third base.
Schoenfelder at third, as KP mentioned. The count right now is 2-1 here on Dimming, but a four spot in this inning for Riverside, and that one is up and in, 3-1.
And this game has been pretty much clean for the most part from this Panthers team up until this inning, where they've had two crucial errors that have been able to really bust this thing more open here for the Cyclones.
That pitch ran inside, ball four, and the inning continues, and the Cyclones officially batting around in this fourth inning, as the ninth man to come up here is junior DH Brody Huss. The runners here are at the corners. Third walk issued by Stevens in relief. Well, now you got to start thinking potential run rule.
10-5.
Right now it's still in the fourth, but 8-0 is the score. They're at the corners with two down. Stevens' first pitch to Huff, missing a little bit up and inside for ball number one. Huff was hit by a pitch in his first at bat, came around to score, and then struck out swinging his last time up. Next pitch, catching the inside part of the plate for a called strike, and it's 1-1. Schoenfelder, the runner at third. Dimming, the runner at first. Two outs here in the bottom of the fourth. Riverside, they have scored four and doubled up their lead to 8-0. Next pitch, a little bit low and outside. 2-1. Huff wears jersey number 32. Big body from the right side. Good wiggle with the bat above the right shoulder. Plays up in the box. Here's Stevens' pitch in the dirt. Now Young throws down to first, and back in safely is Dimming, but now the count, 3-1.
Now, we've talked about it a lot today. It's kind of like a broken record, but again, Young has done such a great job blocking behind the plate, even if the wild pitches that have gotten past him right there. That was another one that went right in the dirt and could have scored a run.
3-1, swing and a miss. Huff got the green light there, missed it all, and the count is full at 3-2. Ninth man to come up to bat here in the fourth for Riverside. They have doubled up their lead from 4-8. Big 3-2 pitch on the way. Swing and a miss, and a strike out there. So Stevens does a good job, but again, a four spot put up by Riverside. Four runs in the fourth inning. and they have doubled up their lead. As we go to the fifth here on KNCA, it's Riverside 8 and Royal Valley nothing.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Jake hanging out with you. We are in Topeka. This is another sign-up location for you for the Bad Boy Camo Cruiser. Come get it. 750cc crew cab that will be given away in August. You can't win it unless you sign up. We're here at 2335 Southwest Clay in Topeka. It's right off 24 Highway here at Denali Home Design. And come in and beat me in war. It's a pretty easy card game. You can win and get yourself signed up. Hanging out with Randy Matsky, one of the owners here of Denali Home Design. Randy, tell me a little bit about what Denali has here for people.
Well, we like to call our refer to Denali Home Design as kind of a boutique home remodeling or refinishing store. We do offer a wide array of products, including lots and lots of flooring, cabinets, countertops, including granite, quartz, quartzite. We recently added some Cambria products. But yeah, we've been here for almost 5 years now, and we would love for everybody to come down and try to get a chance to win this camo and take a look at what we have to offer.
Yeah, big thing. Come in. You guys have such a great showroom here at the front, but also in the back. People can see kind of what some product looks like outside even. What inspired this business here?
Well, quite honestly, we were a little tired of people always asking us if we knew a great place to go get some flooring, who's the best cabinet guy, or where should I go to get my countertop? So honestly, we just said, well, why don't we do that? I mean, we were doing a lot of flooring installation, and we would get all these questions about other trades, and quite honestly, we just said, let's just do it ourselves. And we found this location, and yeah, like I said, it's kind of unique. It's very unique. When you walk in here, it's not going to be like any other retail store that you've probably been in Topeka, and we're just proud to be a locally owned company, a family-oriented company. My business partner and I, Chris Schaefer, who owns Skilled Sauce Hardwood Flooring, wanted a place where people could come and feel welcome and really taken care of.
Come on down and talk with Randy. Come beat me in the card game of war to get yourself signed up. But come on down. We're here until 7 o'clock here tonight. Denali Home Design, 2335 Southwest Clay in Topeka.
This is the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Back here on KNCA. Appreciate that update from Jake Spaulding as we kick things off here in the top of the fifth. A leadoff double for Royal Valley's Tayson Taylor. He is at second base, but an 0-2 count on the leadoff man and Gavin Aiken, and Crendon Prophet takes over.
Yeah, it looked like he was at second base. No one's there to defend it, though, so he doesn't make the throw. Again, you mentioned that Tayson Taylor getting a good leadoff there. Now a wild pitch that gets behind Hewins, and Tayson Taylor is going to be able to take off, and now is on third base in scoring position with no outs in the inning.
Yeah, you heard that from Jake Spaulding right there over in Topeka playing War of the Wild, doing the sign-up for the summer giveaway. And the Cyclones lead here 8-0.
And the 1-2 pitch goes out. It's now 2-2 on the count against Gavin Aiken. And that hit by Tayson Taylor was just the second hit of the game from that triple all the way back in the first inning by Jackson Jake Stevens. Now the count is full, outside fastball. And now Gavin Aiken on the 3-2. With a runner in scoring position on third base, no out.
Well, the listeners missed that first at bat, but it was a great piece of hitting by Taylor, finding that gap in right center. And now a hit down to right field, just getting just beyond the glove of Deming, and that'll score the first run of the game for the Royal Valley Panthers. An RBI single for Gavin Aiken at the top of the order. Well, you needed it. You can't get two until you get one, and well, it's now an 8-1 game, still a long way to go, but that's got to feel good for Royal Valley, getting a nice piece of hitting on the extra base hit by Taylor, and now Aiken with a full count, just kind of going with that pitch and getting it past the first baseman in Deming out into right field for the RBI.
Mason King now steps up to that with no out, takes a hard swing and a miss down the middle for strike number one.
Well, Hughes has been good today. He hasn't given up a ton of runs all year, and of course he's got this nice, comfortable cushion, but wants to settle in and keep it at a minimum.
Okay, look back to first base and not a throw.
Aiken slides back in.
Yeah, we did see Royal Valley get called for a balk early in the game as well. That led to one of the runs.
Hughes delivers strike number two down Broadway. It's now a 0-2 count, and Keene has to protect. Keene outside the box, now right back in the bottom right of the chalk. Hughes setting and delivering from the righty right down the middle as they swing, and looks like they got just a little bit of foul tip from Keene, and that's going to send Gavin Aiken right back to the first base bag.
Yeah, just got a little piece of it, a little late on the swing was the sophomore in Keene, but just enough to stay alive here at 0-2.
0-2 count, Hughes now the offering, and that is a strikeout, the chance for the double play, and not on time. A great diving effort by Kaler from Hewins, but unfortunately Hewins just too right of the throw of the second base bag to make that double play possible, so Aiken will get the steal to second, and Mason King strikes down the 0-3.
So Hughes now six strikeouts. Boy, that was close, Crendon, to a old classic strike him out, throw him out. The throw was, I think, on time, just a little bit off target, which allowed Aiken to get there safely, put himself into scoring position with only one out.
Next pitch here to Jackson Stevens will be a wild pitch to progress Gavin Aiken to third base. And you mentioned the off target, and a lot of that is not helping out from the 18-mile-per-hour wind blowing to that right corner. So
it has got to be more than that.
It is. Well, I've been thinking that it's probably gotten up to the 20s.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any question about that.
24 miles an hour,
thanks,
Kurt Kermlin just gave us back in the studio. Fouled straight back here from Jackson Stevens. It's now the 1-1. And Stevens, again, he was the first one to record a hit in this game for the Panthers. A triple back in the first inning when she was left stranded. It was a two-out triple. He also reached in the third inning off of a walk. So far he's reached base twice, one for one at the at-bat. Here's the 1-1. And it is hit. It is hopped off the mound. It is played from the shortstop position on time at the first base bag. It is a tag applied from Deming, but a run will score in Gavin Aiken.
That's a productive at-bat. You had to do that if you were Jackson Stevens. Just put one in play, get that runner in, get another one on the board, and now down 6 at 8-2.
Producing two runs in the inning, both earned for the Panthers. Next pitch by Hughes is delivered way inside for ball number one against John Young. Young, who is 0-for-2 at the at-bat, ground out the shortstop in the first inning and flew out to right field to end the third. Both were inning-ending plays on the top. And John Young right now out of the box, taking a couple swings from the right-handed batter, and now he encloses back in the right chalked corner. Now left foot out in the middle, and the next pitch is way down and below, and as that happens, the hat of Hughes is gone like a tumbleweed in the wind, and the first baseman in Deming is going to have to go out and get it for him. That's about the second time we've seen that game. Might need to get some Gorilla Glue on that hat of his.
Oh, we saw a hat blow from about second base all the way down the right field line near the batting cage all the way down towards the near corner.
Next pitch here, a swing and a miss from John Young. It's now 2-1. Might have to get out that glue from Matilda where she puts on her dad's hat. Remember that scene?
Yeah, yeah. Classic.
Classic.
Not necessarily the same kind of reference, but Little Giants where the kid puts the sticky stuff on his
hand
to try to catch the ball.
2-1 here, the count on John Young. Pitch by Hughes, and another swing and a miss. It's now a 2-2 count against John Young.
Yeah, good comeback there. Down 2-0, gets it back to 2-2. And if you're Hughes, no need to worry. Still got a six-run lead. Nobody on and two outs. Just worry about the hitter right here.
Next pitch by Hughes just outside in the left corner, and that is a full count, 3-2. And again, last week, the last game, this ace pitcher started. He went six innings, only giving up two hits against Dawson West and just one total run. Unfortunately, had no run support and lost 1-0. But he was just a young sophomore, has 67 strikeouts on the season. Fouled straight back from John Young to keep it to the full count, 3-2.
Well, you mentioned Dawson West. Shout out to them. They won their first-round game in the Valley Falls Regional on Wednesday over Maranatha Christian Academy 10-0. We'll be over in Valley Falls on Monday to close out that regional tournament with Valley Falls and Jefferson County North, D West, Oskaloosa, with two winners facing off in that regional championship game on care.
Full count pitch, curveball just outside of the zone in the right top corner, and John Young will take off for the walk with two outs, and now a runner on.
Now, the only maybe negative here for Hughes today, he has hit a batter, and that's his fourth walk as well. So we've talked about the opportunities that the Panthers have had, despite having now just only three hits in the game, but Hughes has certainly given up a few free passes, but for the most part, he has kept them off, except for the two here in this inning.
Hughes and Hewins talking at the mound. Now Hewins takes back and is walking back behind the plate to catch for Hughes. Again, two outs. We are in the top of the fifth inning. It is 8-2 the score. It is the Riverside Cyclones who have the lead. Panthers one on, two outs. Up to bat now, Junior Wolosik.
There's a courtesy runner over there at first base, by the way, for Mr. John Young.
Hughes, the first offering to Wolosik, is in for strike number one. Just a high, a little bit of a high of a swing from Wolosik and a little late behind.
Now, Wolosik started the game on the mound, got pulled in the third. He went 2 1/3, and no strikeouts. Did give up three walks, a couple of hit batters as that pitch gets away and allows the courtesy runner to get up to second base. Is that courtesy runner, by the way, is Xavier Wabunsey.
Another wild pitch from Hughes to allow the runner to progress. It's a 1-1 count still here against Wolosik. And Hughes sets, takes a look back, and now delivers right down Broadway for strike number two. 1-2 count against Wolosik, looking for the final out of the top of the inning here in the fifth. And Hughes collects a peek back at second. Now another delivery, fastball just outside the quarter left of the zone. And it's a knotted up 2-2 count. But right here, it's Hughes trying to put the bow on it. Another look back to second. And now another fast delivery down the middle for strike call number three. And Wolosik has gone down twice, looking this game in back-to-back innings. The Panthers score two runs off just two hits in this inning. No errors and one left on base. 8-2 is our score. We head into the bottom of the fifth. It's the Cyclones who lead over the Panthers.
96.9 The Pulse, Kansas Land Radio listeners. Hey, it's Jake once again. We're here at Denali Home Design here at 2335 Northwest Clay Street, right off 24 Highway here in Topeka. It's your chance to sign up and claim the Camo Cruiser. All you got to do is beat me in a game of war, and you get some entries into this. I've had a couple people qualify so far. Come on down and get yourself that sign up. We're here till 7 o'clock. But I'm hanging out with now Chris Schaefer, owner of Skilled Saws Hardwood Flooring. And Chris, just tell me about Skilled Saws, what you guys offer, what you guys do for people in Northeast Kansas.
Yeah, so Jake, we started in 2000, so we've been at it 25 years. We install any hard surface except for tile, laminate, hardwood, LVT. We specialize in refinishing and refurbishing older floors that have been down even as early as the 1900s with sand and finish.
Tell me about that part of it, because I know there's a ton of people that maybe don't want to replace what they've got. They want to just rejuvenate what they currently have. What does that look like for you guys when you go into a home or somebody wants to know, can you fix our flooring?
Yeah, so the answer is mostly yes. I mean, I'm a wood guy. I enjoy that. I mean, it's fabulous for me to bring something back from life, to, you know, to restore it. And we do a lot of work in, up in Hiawatha in them older homes on Shawnee and Delaware Street, and them floors are amazing.
Yeah, so tell me about the different options that you guys have. You referenced the LVT, just the different things that you guys offer. What does that mean for other people when they realize, okay, I've got options when I come here?
Yeah, so you just don't have to think that we're only a sand and finish company. We've been installing hardwood and laminate LVT for 25 years also.
Tell me what LVT stands for, because I'm probably not the only one in Northeast Kansas that doesn't understand that.
Well, so it's a luxury vinyl tile, and then there's a LVP, which would be a luxury vinyl plank, which is a wood plank. The luxury vinyl tile, is it looks like tile. It's perfect for bathrooms, basements, anything on concrete surfaces.
And it looks real, but it's just, it's not, right?
Yeah, no, it does look real. You'd have a hard time convincing people otherwise, but it's waterproof for the most part on the surface, and yeah, it's lovely.
We'll talk more with Chris here in just a little bit. Come down, though, and see us. Play me in war and get yourself entered in for the Camo Cruiser Bad Boy Bandit 750cc Crew Cab. We're here at 2335 Northwest Clay Street in Topeka.
This is the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back here to the MSC Sports Radio Network. We're in the bottom of the fifth inning. Right now up the bat is Parker Foley, and he heads off to first base off a full count walk. So right now, the Riverside Cyclones leading 8-2 here on the MSC Sports Radio Network in the bottom of the fifth. A chance for the run rule if they put up four runs in this inning, Brandon.
Yeah, and Jackson Stevens, second pitcher utilized today, getting a quick talk from the coaching staff after that five-pitch walk to number nine, Parker Foley. I say number nine, not his number, but number nine in the batting order. But going back to Riverside real quick, again, they lead it by six here, just getting going in the bottom of the fifth inning, and it looks like we have a pitching change. So, KP, let's send it to a break.
I'll send this one to a break real quick. Cyclones up 8-2 in the bottom of the fifth inning back here on the MSU Sports Radio Network.
We all plan to be on time, but fender benders, damaged windshields, and slick roads quickly disrupt those plans. At Shelter Insurance, our agents help design personal protection plans that work for you and help keep you on track. Shelter Insurance. We're your shield. We're your shelter.
Trust your local Shelter Insurance agents. For a free insurance review, see Dan Lears in Hiawatha or Don Fate in Holton.
Look out your window and you'll see trees flowering and the grass is turning vibrant shades of green. Another sign of spring is farmers preparing their fields for planting. Hi, I'm Mark Pazeska of Union State Bank of Horton. Today we recognize the contributions and hard work of farmers across the region. Our local farm families bring us signs of new life and the promise of hope and a bright future ahead. At Union State Bank of Horton and Everest, we are proud to help behind the scenes with ag loans and services. And we know our local farmers make everyone rich in community. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Protect the investment in your grass cattle or feeder cattle with a livestock risk protection policy from Kansas Insurance in downtown Sabetha. They've teamed up with NAU to provide a policy that works like a put option, but allows you to establish a floor selling price for livestock. Plus, it includes a government cost share like crop insurance. Call Roy today to learn more. Kansas Insurance, downtown Sabetha, 785-284-7611. NAU Country's an equal opportunity provider.
This is the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back here to the MSC Sports Radio Network. Right now it's Carter Geiger who steps in on the mound for the Royal Valley Panthers. Young still catching. Inkin at first. Cooper Stevens at second. Holesick still at third base. Keen now on shortstop. Jacob Stevens going all the way back. Jackson Stevens going all the way out to left field. Taylor still in center and Bradley out and right. Here, batting in the top of the order for the Cyclones is Chase Hewitt.
And takes the first pitch low. Fourth time through the order. Third pitcher utilized. So Stevens, 2 2/3, 3 strikeouts, 3 walks, 4 runs, 3 earned. Responsible for that runner and Foley at first base.
Next pitch, chopped up nicely. Playable from Keen at shortstop. A throw to second base. Not on time to first. And rolling towards the dugout. On the right side, but the runner was able to beat it on the field of choice.
Well, that was a tailor-made ground ball for the potential 6-4-3 double play, but again, Hewins just too much speed to beat out that throw, so they erase Foley off the path and replace him with Hewins at first base, and now one out.
Now Keegan Hughes, up to bat, has only reached one time tonight. A walk back in the second inning, is 0-for-2 at bat. Last time struck out looking in the fourth inning. Takes first pitch here, just low and outside the zone for ball number one.
Boy, the bottom of the lineup has been real good today. Crendon for Riverside, scoring 4 of the runs, multiple base runners, couple of hits.
Next pitch, just under the dirt. Now a takeoff to second base. That is going to be the fifth steal of the game for the Cyclones. That's Chase Hewins on the slide in the second.
Well, Young behind the dish, catching for Royal Valley. He's made some good throws down to second base, but again, Riverside just athletic. They got a lot of speed on the base path.
Hughes on the 2-0 count. And now the delivery and another chopper to the shortstop position is picked up. The throw is to first base, and it is on time.
No, it's not on time. He's safe.
Oh, they're safe.
Yeah, he just beat the throw. Keen at short. He kind of took a little bit of a hesitation, kind of almost like a fake punt, or a pump fake, kind of is what I'm saying there, and that little delay allowed Hughes to beat out that throw, and now they're at the corners with one out.
They also have the runner kind of in his way in Hewins. Hewins now on third base. Hughes on first. Next pitch, a slow one that goes all the way up in the top right of the zone for ball one, and as that pitch is thrown, Hughes has an early take off to second base, and now back-to-back runners is still second. There's a runner on second and third with one out in the bottom of the fifth. Here the 1-0 pitch right down the middle. It is caught and it is going out to the left center between the shortstop and third baseman. Picked all the way up from Jackson Stevens, and a run will score and another one will follow suit. Chase Hewins and Keegan Hughes scoring off the two RBI double.
I think realistically, or I think correctly how that goes down is a two RBI single and then advancing to second on the throw home, but good piece of hitting, perfect spot right in between the third baseman and the shortstop, and now and get that 8-run lead back. It's now 10-2.
Just two runs away from being able to do the 10-after-5 run rule for the Cyclones. Luke Bennett with the at-bat, first pitch outside of the zone, 1-0 count. Geiger setting and taking a peek behind and follows his eyes forward and puts an inside pitch for ball number two.
Boy, Bennett has been productive in all three of his at-bats today, KP. RBI double in the first, a walk in the third, and then that sack fly in the fourth.
That's all you can ask from a stout player, sophomore like Luke Bennett. Had a couple of good plays out in right field as well this game. Third pitch outside the zone as well in the left corner, and now it's a 3-0 count against Luke Bennett, the sophomore. Steps out of the box and right back in he goes. We're on second with one out in the bottom of the fifth. 3-0 count. Here's the delivery. It's a slow changeup, and it's in for strike one. 3-1 count against Luke Bennett. Back out of the box, the faded orange. I actually think those are white cleats. They're just probably a lot pretty dusted. And now a strike goes right down the middle. And it's a full count here against Luke Bennett.
Yeah,
next bounce back.
Yeah, good job by Geiger here again. Third pitcher today for Royal Valley and for Stevens, the second pitcher. Both these guys coming in kind of tough spots in the game, but doing a good job.
Next pitch delivered low into the dirt, and that is a full count walk on Luke Bennett. He takes off to first base. They are on first and second, and Bennett represents the game-winning run on first.
Well, Bennett make it 4-for-4 in terms of productive at-bats today with the double, the sack fly, and now two walks.
And Kobe Kaler finding his first productive at-bat and played appearance, as he walked on his third time up here, first pitch to him in the left corner in for strike one. Kobe Kaler, just a young freshman, is 0-for-2 at the bat, but he has reached base once on his last plate appearance in the fourth inning. Next pitch is to him. This one rocketed up to right field. Will it drop on the line? Yes, it will. Trying to go down and play it is Bradley, and rounding the base paths and moving up again is going to be Mason Hayes. He looked like he was going to make a stop at third base, but a possible misplay from the Panthers, and now Luke Bennett is in scoring position from third base, and Kobe Kaler, he stopped his tracks at first and gets the RBI single.
Well, the wind again, that was a monster play in that hit. It was a high fly ball down the right field line, about 2 feet inside the line for a fair ball. And you mentioned Hayes kind of making that turn at third. He had a little bit of a stumble, but the throw came in late, and now you have first and third and one out, and you have the game-winning run, and Luke Bennett's being represented at third base. So even an out could end the game.
Have to defend home plate, even if it's a grounder on the infield. Cannot throw to first. One out on the inning. This one is chopped, and that will go down for the winning base hit for Gavin Schoenfelder, the freshman, back-to-back RBI singles, win the game for the Riverside Cyclones. A finale of 12-2 at the end of the fifth inning. Riverside Cyclones, the 10-after-5 run rule. We'll be back here for our post game here on the MSU Sports Radio Network. Again, the final, Riverside wins the quarterfinals round 12-2 over the Royal Valley Panthers.
96.9 The Pulse and Kansaland listeners. Hey, it's Jake once again here at Denali Home Design, here at 2335 Northwest Clay Street, right off 24 Highway, guys, right behind the Aldi. Come over here, get yourself signed up for the Camo Cruiser. And all you got to do is beat me in the game of war, and you get yourself signed up. Hanging out with Randy Matzke again. Randy Denali has got so many things to offer people. What sets you guys apart from other businesses?
Well, I think two things that come to mind. The first being that we are a local company. My business partner and I, Chris, started this company, and we really wanted it to be, you know, something that, you know, it's family oriented. We grew up in this area. We started this. It's a small business. We like to refer to it as a boutique remodeling store, and you know, we don't answer like big box stores answer to big, you know, corporate companies. We don't have that. You know, we're the same as you and me, Jake. I mean, I'm your neighbor, I'm your buddy, and you know, that's the way we treat our friends. I mean, we wanted all of our, you know, we want to treat our friends, our family, and all of our wonderful clients just like we would want to be treated ourselves. So
sure. And again, you guys have been doing this 5 years, but you've been doing in these trades a lot longer than that. What's something that, you know, somebody walks in here for the first time, what do you think is going to make them go, wow, this is different?
Well, and I guess I didn't expand on number two. I had 2 points. I think the other thing and one of the significant features of Denali Home Design that, again, separates us from our competition is that we have a tremendous amount of experience. When you come in, you're going to meet with design staff that have designed thousands and thousands of homes. And when I say they've designed homes, they haven't designed how it's framed or what it looks like, but those finishing touches, the flooring, the tile in your shower, you know, the finishing touches on your basement, whatever that case may be. I mean, our design staff has done thousands and thousands of those homes in Northeast Kansas. So they're always in tune with what's on trend. And, you know, they'll listen to you and help you figure out and really, you know, make your dreams come reality. And then on the installation side, I mean, we've got installers, local installers that have installed thousands and thousands of homes in this area, and so they are experts in the trade, and they will ensure at the end of the day that, you know, it's done right, and it's done to your satisfaction.
Come down and hang out with me and Randy. Chris will be here. We're here till 7 o'clock tonight. Come see Jason Moroz as well. 2335 Northwest Clay Street in Topeka. Here till 7 for you to get signed up for the Camo Cruiser and check out this awesome showroom and how Denali can help you.
This is the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Well, a five-inning run rule win for the top seed Riverside Cyclones as they take care of business in their opening round game against the 8-seed Royal Valley Panthers. Final score in five innings was 12-2. So that sets up the first semifinal next Wednesday afternoon with Riverside and Marysville. And now we hit the bottom half of the brackets. We'll send it back to Kurt here momentarily for a little bit of a break, about 20, 25 minutes between games, and we'll get set for Hiawatha and Nemaha Central, which is the 2-7 matchup in this bracket. But just a final thought for myself and Crendon on what we saw here in game number one, and certainly not a ton of opportunities for Royal Valley today, but certainly had some chances in a couple of innings. They left the bases loaded at one point early on in the game, but, you know, walks, hit batters, and some timely hitting by the Riverside Cyclones. They get win number 16 and move on to the regional semifinals.
Yeah, you mentioned the Panthers. They only produced a total of 3 hits on the game, a triple, a double, and a single. Also, you look on that defensive side of the sheet from the pitching perspective. I mean, they allowed 7 walks, 2 hit batters, and, you know, you look at that number, and that's a lot of guys who got on base who didn't really have to you know, earn it with a hit. So, I mean, if you look at that perspective, Riverside, they just did a great job staying patient at the at-bat. They did a phenomenal job also running the base pass with 5 total steals on the game for themselves. And you also take a look at Hughes. Again, last week he went 6 innings, and he only gave up 1 run. Unfortunately, he still lost the game. This time he's given up 2 runs, but he's got the run support behind him. The team was able to back him up and produce 8 hits to get 12 runs on the board, and that's what you need to do as a supporting cast to your pitcher to help out Hughes.
finish out the game. So Riverside, for their first time playing, against a Big East team now, you know, as they've went down to the NAKL and playing a non-league, they have done very well, and they extend that losing streak for Royal Valley now to 41 games.
Riverside had three big innings, three in the second. They had four in the fourth and then closed it out in the fifth with four more runs. As we get you the final tallies and get set to send it back to Kurt here for a little bit of a break. Again, Hiawatha, Nemaha Central coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. But the final tallies here in game one of our triple header here on KNCA as Riverside wins it 12-2 in five innings. They go to 16-5 on the year. 12 runs, 8 hits, no errors. They left 7 on base. Royal Valley season comes to an end at 0-21 as they finish today's game. 2 runs, 3 hits, 1 error, and they left 6 on base. The winning pitcher, Keegan Hughes, he goes all 5 innings for Riverside. 6 strikeouts, 4 walks, and he gave up the 2 runs in that final inning. Game time today for this one, 1 hour and 42 minutes, as it's Riverside and Marysville, the first semifinal set for Wednesday next week. All right, we got Hiawatha and Nemaha Central on the other side. Stick with us. Back in a tight 15 here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.